the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you another great song today by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green, still in chapter 20, so get your Bibles out if you can and follow along. But before that, I want to ask you to remember to pray for this ministry each and every day, and pray for all of our staff who work so hard here at the program. We certainly remember you, our Gospel Hour family, in our prayers. Well, right now, let's hear Still Sweeter Every Day, and then Dr. Green.
My heart is sometimes heavy, but he comes with sweet relief. He folds me to his bosom when I drop with blighting grief. I love the Christ who all my burdens in his body bore. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the privilege we have today of studying Thy Word. And as we study, give us wisdom, and we'll give God the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing today where we left off on yesterday. John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now we're in deep water, aren't we? Oh yes, we're up to our necks, our noses, our eyes. And unless we depend on the Holy Spirit, we'll never understand what we've just read. Now, yesterday when I left the radio, I pointed out that this was the same day that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He instructed her to go tell the disciples. She went to the disciples. She delivered the message that Jesus gave her. And these disciples went to their own home. And they, later in the day, hearing that Jesus was missing and that he was gone from the tomb, they became so frightened that they hid in the upper room. Now, without a doubt, this is the same upper room where they ate the Last Supper. Now, I believe that. I believe they went back to the place where they last saw their Lord in fellowship around the table. Now, of course, they saw him last as he was taken down, or rather, he was on the cross. Now, in the room with all the doors shut and all the windows bolted, Jesus stepped right into the midst. Now, that's the kind of a body we're going to have when we get our glorified body in the first resurrection. 1 John 3:1-3, that's the epistle of John, the first epistle. John says we'll be like him. We'll have a body just like Jesus. Now, Jesus' body, in his glorified body, he could go through closed doors, closed windows. He appeared anywhere, anytime, and he did not find walls and doors, barriers, such as we do today. Now, Jesus appeared to these disciples in the upper room. And, of course, they must have been terrified until he showed them his hands and his side. And when they saw his hands and the scars, they were glad. Now, somebody asked Mr. Green, "Do you believe that Jesus has scars today?" I believe what the old song says. Now, the song's not inspired. And I don't believe it because the song says it. I believe it. The song says it. I believe it. But I don't believe it just because it's in a song. I believe this. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. Yes, I'll know him, praise God, by the prints of the nails in his hands. Now, I personally believe that the prints of the thorns are in his brow. I believe that the prints of the nails are in his hands. And I believe that the scar on his side is there today. Now, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Then said Jesus unto them, "Again, peace be unto you." Now, you know, Jesus could have rebuked these disciples sternly. He could have rebuked them sternly. Why? They left him, they fled, they forsook him, they hid. Now he stands in their midst, having done what he said he would do, namely, arise from the dead. Jesus told the disciples again and again and again that he would come back from the dead. Well, you say, "Mr. Green, why didn't they believe it?" I'll ask you one. Jesus said, "Again and again and again, I go away, I come again." Why don't folks believe that? How long has it been since you heard a sermon on the second coming? How long has it been since your spiritual advisor told you that Jesus is coming again? How long has it been since you read and believed and received the scriptures that testify, "Surely I come quickly"? And then the disciple prayed, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." These unbelieving disciples have been criticized by ministers, teachers, evangelists. I have unjustly criticized them during the past 32 years of my ministry, but I don't do it anymore. You know, there are some things that only age and time will teach a preacher. Now that's right, age, experience, and time. I don't criticize these disciples anymore. You know why? I'm so human myself. There's so much of the Bible I say I believe, and I don't prove it by my actions. In other words, I believe the greatest business on earth is winning souls. And I believe the greatest business on earth is witnessing. But I'm afraid I've let golden opportunities slip through my hands. And I believe that whatsoever I ask in the Father's name, he'll do. I believe that in my heart. I really do. I believe that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above anything that I can think or imagine or ask. I believe in my spirit. I believe in my heart. But I guess I'm just weak in the flesh. Because sometimes, beloved, I become very anxious about the gospel hour. This has been the hardest summer. The hardest summer we've ever had. And this right now, today, we need letters from the Gospel Hour family as we've never needed your letters before. Beloved, I'm concerned in my mind and in my heart. I'm burdened, exceedingly burdened. Now, Jesus told me, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done." I believe that. And yet I ask, I say, "Oh God, send in the funds. Oh God, move the hearts of the people. Oh God, move upon their hearts and impress them to give." You know, I've been in the ministry 32 years, 27 years of daily broadcasting, 27 years of daily broadcasting. Beloved, I've prayed a lot of prayers and I've had to exercise a lot of faith. And I'll admit that sometimes my faith gets mighty weak. You folks out there, pray for me. I need your prayers. I say with the man in the Bible, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me, Lord God, where I'm weak. Help me. Help me to believe with all of my heart and to leave it in the hands of Jesus. I must. I must. I cannot bear these burdens much longer. Now then, peace be unto you. Now, why did he say it two times? Why? When he stepped into their midst, he said, peace be unto you. And when he stepped in, or rather after he showed them his hands and his side, he said, peace be unto you. Well, you remember back in John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with thee. My peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth, give I thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, Jesus wanted these disciples to know that they need not fear, they need not fret, they need not be concerned about him rebuking them sternly and chastening them for their desertion. They deserted him, they ran, they hid, and he died alone, with the exception of John the Beloved and the precious women. All the others were hiding. But now he appears to them in peace. Thank God! One of these glorious days, Jesus is coming, and there'll be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Do you remember when the angel announced the birth of Jesus in Luke 1? The angels sang, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now, that has never been. As I speak today, men are dying on the battlefield. The war clouds get thicker and hang lower, and the whole world is studying war. But there's a day coming when they'll beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks, and they'll study war no more. Now, that day is not this day. That day has never been, but praise God, it will be. It will be when King Jesus sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters now cover the sea. Then we'll have peace on earth. Then we'll have goodwill toward men, and not until that glorious day. Jesus said, peace I leave with thee, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth, give I thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, disciples, don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Don't be nervous. Peace I say give unto thee. Now then, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, what do I learn from that statement? What is the Scriptures teaching me there? Did not the Holy Spirit abide with these men before this occasion? Now, beloved, remember, in the Old Testament era, the Holy Spirit came upon men for specific ministries, and then he departed. David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, in the Old Testament era, the Holy Spirit ministered in a different way than after Pentecost. Now, this is before Pentecost. Now, it's true that the Spirit of God had been with these disciples. And I do not think it is error to say that he did abide within them. But Jesus breathed upon them for a specific anointing for ministry. Now, God's preachers, God's pastors, God's evangelists, and God's Bible teachers have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit for the ministry. And if you have not been breathed upon by the Holy Ghost and put into the ministry by the Holy Ghost, then you are not God's minister. All of God's ministers have been breathed upon by the Holy Spirit and anointed for the ministering of the Word of God. Now let me explain this way. Jesus instructed these disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Now they tarried, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke every known language on earth at that particular time. Now, Pentecost was the birthday of the New Testament church. Now, I believe that. Many don't. I believe the Bible teaches that. Many do not believe the Bible teaches that, but I do. These disciples were instructed to evangelize in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now that was the birthday of the church. And these disciples were filled and they spake the word of God with boldness. 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And then daily the Lord added to the church such as were being saved day by day as these disciples preached under the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this particular occasion here in the upper room was a specific anointing, a special anointing in the Old Testament manner before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost began. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came to stay until the church is raptured out. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit will go out with the church. But he's here, he has been here since Pentecost, and each believer and every believer since Pentecost has become a partaker of the Holy Spirit the split second that person believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your scripture? John 3:5, except a man be born of the Spirit. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit, he's none of God's. Romans 8:14, the Spirit as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then Galatians, if we're led by the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Now there's no such thing as Christianity. There's no such thing as the new birth. There's no such thing as salvation apart from the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're born into God's family apart from the Holy Spirit. Every believer possesses the Holy Spirit. Every believer is not possessed by the Holy Spirit in full. Now, I mean by that, Paul in Ephesians 5:18 said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, these disciples on this particular occasion, when Jesus breathed upon them, they were filled, they were anointed for a specific ministry. You remember that Adam was a dust man until God breathed into his nostrils. Then Adam became a living soul. Now, this verse 23, I hesitate to begin today because I cannot finish it, but I will give you the introduction to what I want to say. Now, Jesus said, whosoever sins ye remit are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, I'm going to ask some questions today, and then tomorrow I'll answer them. Now, I don't have time to give the answers today, and I dare not leave this verse dangling. I mean by that, I refuse to start it until I can finish it. But I'm going to ask some questions. Number one, did Jesus give the disciples authority to forgive sins? Could they take away a man's sins or retain those sins? That is, could they cause him to retain them or could they take the sins away? Did Jesus give the apostles a special anointing and position and power that has been handed down to ministers today? Are we the successors of the apostles? Did God give them a specific ministry that has been handed down, these men? Now then, should we name our sins to ministers? And can the minister intercede to God in our behalf? Now let me say this. You can believe anything you want to believe. I can't change your belief. But if you're not an atheist or an agnostic, you know that you can't believe anything except what Jesus taught. If you wish to spend eternity where he is, because he said to doubting Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man. And beloved, you can't do away with that. No man, that's clear. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you can believe anything you want to believe and you can preach anything you want to preach, but you can't go to heaven and do that. You must believe the words of Jesus. And let me serve notice on you that I'm not defending a religion, a dogma, or a doctrine. I'm preaching the Word of God. Did Jesus commit into the hands of these apostles the power to forgive sins and the power to cause a man's sins to retain or to stay with him? Did Jesus place into the hands of these disciples the keys that unlocks salvation or locks the door of salvation? Now, beloved, I say this with all tenderness and love. We are living in the age of many religions, but the Bible still thunders out like mighty thunder from heaven. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. One door. All who climb up some other way are thieves and robbers. One shepherd, the true shepherd. All others are hirelings. And the hireling fleeth when the wolf cometh. But the Bible still thunders out, my sheep know my voice. I call my sheep by name, and a stranger they will not follow. I'll answer on tomorrow's broadcast the question, did Jesus commit into the hands of these apostles apostolic power to forgive sins or to retain sins? And has that gift been handed down to ministers of this present day? Now that's a good question, and the Bible has a good answer. But let me ask you a question, because you may not hear the broadcast tomorrow. And frankly, I may be in paradise myself tomorrow. So since today is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? If you haven't, bow your head, shut your eyes, and believe on the crucified, buried, risen, living Jesus. He sits today at the right hand of God the Father to plead your case. Commit your case into the hands of Jesus, and He will confess you to the Heavenly Father. And now, Father, honor Thy Word, the precious Word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood. And save the soul, our Father, that's nearest hell. Save every soul that's under conviction. Reclaim the backslidden. Revive the indifferent. And strengthen the weak. And may believers be built up in the most holy faith. And we'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and as we bring today's program to a close, I'm happy to tell you that we have a new gift offer for you for this week and the next couple of weeks. We call it Gift Offer D, D as in David, and the theme of this offer is eternity. That's something we all, as Christians, look forward to, spending eternity with Christ. But we all need to learn more about that subject. Now, in Gift Offer D, there are two items. First is a book by my late father, Dr. Green, and also a CD of music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians. Two great items in this offer. And it's available to you if you simply ask for it by name, Offer D, and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $10 or more. I hope that you can add some more to that, make it $15, $20, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, because your donations keep this program on the air. But if you can send a donation of $10 or more and ask for offer D, I'm going to send you first a book entitled Eternal Life. This is a hardback book, 188 pages long. Now it has a foreword by my dad plus 10 chapters focusing on eternity. And the very first chapter is What is Eternal Life? So you can see where this book is going to be very useful to you learning more about eternity and eternal life. Then we have an album that we have put together of my personal favorites, Eternal Promises of God. There are 17 songs on this album, such as Sweet Hour of Prayer, Jesus I Come, and so on. So I know that you will enjoy listening to this album over and over like I do. So to get both of these great items, just ask for gift offer D and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.